involved in education. He's a teacher. He also has a band called Dark Horse, and we wanted to talk to Jeff. He's at Venice Beach right now, and your band, I know, is going to be rehearsing for a musician's relief benefit that is going to be occurring this week at Venice, and it's to benefit what, Jeff?
The musician's relief, Phil, and thank you for having me on your program, is to benefit musicians who have fallen tragically to drug affliction and need to be basically bailed out of it, and, you know, to be rehabbed up and everything. And so what we'll be doing is raising money, playing a benefit concert. It will be starting at 4 p.m. It'll be at Newbies, which is a club right at the pier. If you care to join us afterwards, we're going to be having a drumming clinic, which I will be heading up. And that's really part that's very exciting for me.
You're going to be heading up the drumming clinic, and is this going to be not free, right?
There'll be a nominal charge of $5 for people to come in and learn the finer points of jazz drumming. Our band, Dark Horse, is probably more of a proto-rap metal band. A lot of the material that we do has to do with, you know, I'm down, everybody, you know, and kind of, I don't really want to get into a lot of what we do because we're doing our demo next week, but this is also going to help musicians really, but also help fund our demo. But I also do, to get the point, Phil, I do some jazz drumming. I'm steeped in the jazz tradition, and I think jazz drumming is something that if you can master jazz drumming, you can master any form of drumming.
Jazz drumming is what you'll be talking about this weekend.
Basically jazz drumming.
Who are the great jazz drummers?
Well, I mean, I think about Buddy Rich, you know, is a good one. Buddy Rich was
considered to be one of the best, wasn't he?
He considered himself to be the best, that's for sure. But I mean, Buddy Rich used two bass drums. He had the fastest feet in the business. He was Elvin Jones, who worked with John Coltrane. Ginger Baker, even though he's a rock drummer.
Ginger Baker played in jazz groups, though, didn't he?
Ginger Baker started out in jazz and then went on to rock. So these are the kinds of people I think are good to emulate, and I'm going to showing people.
Can you demonstrate for us jazz? Because we're all familiar with kind of the ham-fisted rock drumming.
Well, a lot of rock drummers are ham-fisted. Some have a subtlety, I think. The dude from Linkin Park, I forget his name, Joe Blow, I don't know what his name is.
Yeah, I thought it's Rob something, right? The guy from Linkin Park? What's his name, Chris? Rob, yeah.
Okay, well, he's really good, and he's not what I call ham-fisted. There's some guys that are, but anyway, jazz does take some subtlety.
Can you demonstrate for us?
I do, Phil.
Now, I asked you, so people know that we're not doing this just, it's not impromptu, I asked you to set your drum kit up.
Well, what I have, Phil, are just two tom-toms, which will demonstrate for people how the basic rhythms, the triplicates, and the patterns of jazz drumming work. By the way, there's a lot of rock drummers who are jazz fans. Tommy Lee from The Crew, Joe Kramer from Smith.
Smith?
Yeah, Aerosmith.
Oh, okay.
You know, John Bonham from Lynn and
Led Zeppelin?
Yeah.
Bonham's dead?
John Bonham. I meant Joe Bonham.
Who's Joe Bonham?
Ain't he the son?
Well, the kid's name is Jason Bonham.
Jason Bonham. I thought it was Joe or something. Bill Ward from Sabbath. And
Black Sabbath?
Right. So these are a lot of the people that enjoy drums. So here's basic jazz drumming, and for people listening, you can get a good sense of what it is. Okay, this is something that we're working on our album. It's called Freeform or Pedal to the Metal. It's just a little thing I've been working on, and I can do, you know, kind of the countdown to it. 1, 2, 3, the metal to the metal. I got my pedal. To the metal, 2, 3, 4, 2, and the pedal's to the metal, and my pedal's on my metal, pedal, and then it finishes with what's called a roll or a big roll, pedal to the metal. And so that's it.
Now, that I'm not familiar with hearing jazz outside of... hearing jazz drumming outside of... unless it's a solo.
Yeah.
Outside of the usual company, piano, saxophone, this kind of thing. So what you were playing there sounded non-traditional?
Well, what I do a very non-traditional, non-rhythm thing. What I do is that I forgot what I was going to say, but it's based in Indian modalities. Are you familiar with Indian music, Mr. Henry?
Yeah, you know, some of it.
Right, with the sitar or anything?
Yeah.
Very non-traditional rhythms. Here, like, when I hit this one part of pedal to the metal, metal to the metal, metal pedal, and that ain't Hansel and Gretel. It's metal. Whee! That is right there, what you just heard right there. Okay, did you hear that there's a subtle two beat in there? And that is from Eastern modalities that, you know, like we got do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, di, do. In India, they got, well, I don't know what, they probably see something like chong, king, pong, tong, tong, tong. But it goes chong, pong, pong, tong, long, tong. So it doesn't, but let me just do it again. This is the song, Pelamel. So I say, pedal to the metal.
Well, you mean, in other words, it's not do, re, mi, fa, sol. It's more like do, re, mi. I don't know.
Yeah, it's different. It's like, so I'll say, hey, mama, make me some jello. I got my pedal to my metal. Hey, mama, check out my metal. My pedal's stuck in my metal. You see what I'm saying? So, two, three. And then you go, two, three, two, one, two, two. Okay? And that's how you do it. And I try to tell these kids, and I get a lot of these kids in, and they all want to be the next Tommy Lee. They all want to be the next Ginger Baker. They all want to be the next Joe Bonham or whoever. Okay? And I always tell them, look, dude, you know, what, do you think you're going to come in here and tell me how to do it? I've been doing this. I've been playing bars. I've been playing all the clubs and bars since I was 13, man. Don't come in here and tell me how you're going to do it, man. And their mothers are standing there, and their mothers are always going, you know, I got to get going. You know, I got to get, you know, to an appointment or whatever. I'm like, okay, well, whatever. I can try to teach your kid. And the kids are all like, yeah, man, I got my own kid at home. I got a pearl bass drum and zildjian cymbals, all this bull crap. I don't know how to play it. So,
well, it's frustrating.
Very frustrating. So anyway, just to tell you, like in the song Pedal of Metal, there's a line that goes, hey, mama, make me some jello. I got my pedal on your metal, and that ain't Hansel. Your name's Gretel. Okay, that's how it goes. Hey, mama, make me some jello. I dropped the sticks. Hold on. Hey, mama, make me some jello. I got my pedal in your metal, and it's in your metal, and it's everything's fun. Okay? So, while I bang the...
Okay, some of these lyrics are a little tough for me. If you hold on for a minute, Jeff. Jeff Dowder is at the... I'm sorry, Jeff, but some of the lyrics were a little tough.
I understand that. But that's the basic trip, you know?
Okay. Very cool. Wow, it sounds like these are...
Yeah, a seagull just flew overhead. So beautiful here. But anyway, but remember that. Make me jello in a kettle while I bang the flower petal. It smells like burning metal. Metal to the pedal. Woo-hoo! Woo! So that's it. And when
is that on your demo?
That's on our demo. Yeah, it's gonna be, I think, very very cool. And I'm hoping that people will pick up on it. But our Musicians Relief's this weekend. I hope people come down to it.
All right, Musicians Relief down at the beach this weekend. Jeff Dowder with a drumming clinic. And look for that song "Pedal to the Metal" on his demo. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Wow, I'm trying to add libs.
No, you don't add lib anything. I'm doing a commercial for Rio de Janeiro.
Look, I studied the method, and I'm just...
I don't care about your... What do you mean you studied the method?
Well, I'm taking some classes over at the Actor's Studio, and I just think that there's an element of reality to the character that you're missing.
Oh, well, thank you, Mr. Brando. Thank you very much. I'm doing a commercial here for Rio de Janeiro. They got millions of dollars tied up in this account. They want to get a lot of Americans down there for Carnival. You know what Carnival is, don't you? Yes, sir, I understand what it is. It's like Mardi Gras, only it's a lot of Mexicans.
It's Brazilians! It's Mardi Gras with Brazilians. Chicks and thongs, huh? What do you mean, all that AIDS?
Well, I just think there's an element...
Look. You're the actor, I'm the director. You're the robot, I'm the man that pushes the buttons. You're just a body moving in space. You have no mind. You have no mind of your own. Me, I'm the star, I direct. You just move with the words. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Yes, sir, I just thought I'd...
Never mind. All right, take two. Eddie, camera, lights. Everybody get makeup. Come on. Come on, Shirley, will you?
Well, I'm trying to get the stuff.
Don't forget about it, will you? Just give me a cup of coffee or something. All right. Ready? I gotta get my son there, Solid Fit. All right, and action. What are you, some kind of an activist? Some kind of a guy?
No, I'm trying to.
Look, you ain't whatever you think you are. Take off the leather jacket, all right? It ain't 1955. What are you, James Dean?
I just think there's some things that should... Oh, do you really?
Well, when you get yourself $50 million, you can make your own movie. All right, let's get it set up one more time here. Otherwise, this actor is... You better get your agent. I got to call his agent. Who's your agent?
Mr. Brown.
Yeah, okay. What are you doing to me now?
No, I just went where a lot of Germans...
I know they did! Look, I'm half Jewish. Can we just ignore that? Look, come to Brazil, see all the chicks in the thongs, boom, ba boom, ba boom, ba boom. Hey, okay, go.
Well, look, I'm sinking a lot of bread into this thing, huh? I'm beginning to sound like Edward G. Robinson, see? I want a commercial, see? For Carnival, see? Now, what are you doing? Now, with all due respect, I don't want to tell you how to do commercials or anything, but...
Well, that's all right. We're just another actor, all right? Hey, how about you?
Me?
Yeah, you're the guy that's buying a commercial. You do it, okay? You know, you're from Brazil. You get the whole thing.
Okay, I'll try it.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. You know that Carnival, that's like Mardi Gras, only there are more kids being gunned down. Yeah, in other words, you go to Brazil for Carnival, it's just like New Orleans, except the kids that are killed in Brazil are killed by the cops legally. Oh, my God. I wouldn't go down to Brazil for love or money. I'm sorry. Forgive me. There are places I have an interest in going to. There are many places I have a great interest in going to. I've traveled to the Far East. I have traveled to Europe. I have traveled to Eastern Europe. I have a great interest in someday going to Israel. I really do. I'd like to go to Israel. I got an interest in going to Iraq. I would have broadcast from Iraq if the NFL Alumni Association had come through. 2 weeks I was supposed to be in Iraq visiting the troops. And I can tell you the story. I got a letter from the NFL Alumni Association. A bunch of these old-timers used to be NFL players. They said, well, we were sitting around wondering what guys want to take with us. And they said, Phil Hendry, it'd be great, you know. I said, what about Jim Rome? He does sports. They go, nah, they hate his guts. I said, okay. So I never heard from these guys. Now, who's going over to Iraq and doing a show, though? I heard a guy went over there. I'm saying, how come he's going? Oh, I know who it is. I don't even want to mention his name. Some lightweight from San Diego. The home of the lightweight. Anyway, he's going over there. I guess he talked the station into paying his way, and he's going to go over. He's going to do a show. I would have loved to have done that. But it costs money, and it's the kind of bread I can't come up with. So, you know, you need the company to foot the bill. And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I tell you, we may live in America, but it doesn't necessarily mean that people who run companies here care about America. Not to the extent where you're going to actually go over and do a little morale building for the troops. Letterman went over for Christmas, didn't he? I should have insisted.
They wouldn't have done it anyway.
You're right. I could have walked into this. I demand you send me to Iraq. No. Okay, thanks. So there's a lot of places I'd like to go. One of the places that I've no interest in going to is South America, because everything I hear and read and see about that hole makes me just want to put a freaking nose peg on. You know, one of them clothes pegs on my nose? First of all, Brazil. No, excuse me, did I get this right? That there are bands, whole armies of children roaming the streets? Now, look, I know there's poverty in America. You don't have to educate me to that. But they have like hundreds of children living in armies in the urban areas to the point where the police go around and shoot them and no one cares? Okay, that's number one.
That's where the Amazons are.
That's where the Amazon is.
That's what I said.
No, that's what you said. That's where the Amazons are.
Yeah.
Amazons are big, legendary chicks. They don't even exist, man. It's the... Do you know what an Amazon is, bud?
Yeah, it's Wonder Woman and stuff like that.
Well, no, it's Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman is the comic expression of the Amazon persona. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I haven't the faintest idea. You gotta start talking. Well, I want to talk about a girl have big can and everything like that. Brazil's a land of the Amazons. The girls are big up top.
You know, every time you open your mouth, you sink deeper and deeper into a swamp of dumb. Do you know that, man?
Russ Meyer made a movie with an Amazon.
Who? What do you mean, Russ Meyer? What do you know about Russ Meyer, man? When Russ Meyer was around, you weren't even freaking born. Amazon, the Amazon is that aspect of a woman's persona that is the strong and...
Wait, what do you mean? You're confusing me.
I'm trying to educate you, okay? Wait a minute. Yeah, David?
Why are you making the tart confused? What do you mean that aspect of a woman's persona?
I wanted to... He said that's where the Amazons were.
He's right. That's where the Amazons are.
That's the Amazon River, man. That ain't an Amazon. That's the river.
Ain't the river called the Amazon?
Yes.
Well, that's where they are.
That's what I'm trying to tell him, Mr. Hall.
See, bud? When Mr. Smart suddenly realizes he's been out-thunk, he got nothing to say.
Yeah, that's right. I've been out-thunk.
Yeah, you got shut down.
You got slapped down.
Okay, guys, yeah, you really slapped me down, man. Hold, cut. Cut the freaking music. What's the problem?
What do you mean, what's the problem? You got me reading Jack Ball material.
Hey, wait, is this old man going to get...
What were you calling old man?
Hold on, Phil, this is Margaret.
Yes.
Is he having a problem with his lines?
Yes, he is. Fee-fi-fo-fum.
Well, what the hell does that mean?
That's what the freaking giant says, man, okay? Now I gotta go all the way back and start it all over again.
No, don't do that. Let's just pause, everyone, okay? I've been in theater, I know. Let's pick it up, and then later we'll cut it together.
We're doing this live.
Oh. You know, my agent's listening to this, and if he doesn't...
Listen to this kid pulling a star act on me.
Hold on for a minute, R.C. Have you got it yet?
I got a line here that says fee-fi-fi-fi-fi.
Fi-fi?
It says hi-fi-fo-fum.
Fee-fi-fo-fum.
Boy, do you sound like some kind of a retard. What is that?
It's in the story.
Harvey, it's fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman.
I need some water.
Oh, okay, man. Well, let's just take all night, okay? Why don't we just...
I need some water.
Get him some water, Riz. You know what? This is really... You're blowing it, man. I don't want any part of this project.
Hey, listen, kid. Big star. You ready?
Oh.
You.
Yeah, I'm ready. Okay.
Look, Phil, I don't think he's threatening...
No, fee-fi-fo-fum, I smell his bum.
What's wrong with that? It's just a little bit of a bit of humor.
Okay, I'm done. Frank Gray standing on the line. He's got a story he wants to read. Is that it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Okay, man, I'll talk to him, but I'm not exactly... You know, okay. Get Frank on the line here. Frank, how you doing, brother? I understand that you have something that you want to read to us.
Yeah, I do, Phil. I wanted to read something to you. By the way, how are you doing?
Good.
Okay, this is a great story. A crusty old sergeant major found herself at a gala event hosted by a local liberal arts college. There was no shortage...
Was this a crusty old major was a guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why do you always get that wrong? I don't understand.
It's nothing. I forgot about... Hold on, will you? It's gender confusion, folks. Go ahead, Frank.
Look, I don't like being put on hold by you, okay? Makes me want to say bad things about you. Telling people all week she was a real piece of work.
Yeah, okay, she sure was.
That's right. All right, a crusty old sergeant major found herself at a gala event hosted by a local liberal arts college. There was no shortage of extremely young, idealistic ladies in attendance, one of whom approached the sergeant major for conversation. He said, "Excuse me, Sergeant Major, but you seem to be a very serious man. Is something bothering you?" "Negative, ma'am," the sergeant major said, "just serious by nature." Well, the young lady looked at her awards and decorations and said, "It looks like you've seen a lot of action." The sergeant major's short reply was, "Yes, ma'am, a lot of action." The young lady, tiring of trying to start up a conversation, said, "You know, you should lighten up a little, relax and enjoy yourself." The sergeant major just stared at him, and in a serious manner, too. Finally, the young lady said, "You know, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but when's the last time you had sex?" The sergeant major looked at him and replied, 1955. He said, "Well, there you are. You really need to chill out and quit taking everything so seriously. I mean, no sex since 1955. Isn't that a little extreme?" The sergeant major, glancing at her watch, said in her matter-of-fact voice, "You think so? It's only 21:30 now." See?
Yeah, that's great, man.
What's wrong?
Well, I mean, there's something taken away from it, because I don't know who you're talking about.
I'm talking about a sergeant major and the broad that she's talking to.
Yeah, but when you say she and it's a guy, it bugs me.
You're a retard. You know that?
Yeah, okay, man. 1955. Well, it's 21:30 now. What is that, like military time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I get it. Well, whatever, man. Unfreaking real with all of the...
Take him a little bit off the ears, Benny.
Will you get him out of there with a barber shop? Haven't had sex since 1955. It's only 21:30 now. So what is that? That's...
like 9:30 or something.
Oh, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
First of all, I thought this was a joke when I started listening to this.
I mean, Mr. Bozell, you have to understand that people are hearing you.
Well, I know, and I know that this is precedent-breaking, and I know that it sounds strange to a lot of people.
No, it ain't strange. It's absurd. You know what? I think this little boy hurt your pride, but you know what? You killed his father. You sit there.
I killed way.
No.
I didn't kill his
you
father.
You sit there.
How do you figure I killed his father?
Because you say that you won't allow this little boy to sit behind you, but yet you allowed yourself to get behind a steering wheel drunk. That's how you killed his father.
His father was
you
drunk,
sit
too.
There. So what? You were the one that got behind the wheel. If he got behind the wheel and killed you, I'd be saying the same thing to him.
What if he got behind the wheel and just drove and nobody died?
You had the responsibility. You were behind the wheel. The other thing is you sit there, you quote the Bible, you say you're not a lawbreaker. Well, wasn't you a lawbreaker when you got behind the wheel drunk? Yes, you were, and you killed your best friend. I think you were a loser then, and I think you're a loser now to sue this little boy. You are crazy.
So you're gonna sit there and say I should just wait for the day that while I'm out sunbathing, the kid just goes ahead and strangles me with a garden hose. And
you know what? Move away.
Move away.
You have a guilty conscience, don't you? You're scared to death because you know you were wrong. You know you were wrong.
I feel guilty. Yeah, I feel guilty, but I know that.
Okay, so this is the way you handle it,
ma'am. I got charged with ma'am. The court charged me. The police charged me with manslaughter.
Yeah, you know
and
you got off. Shame on them.
I got off.
Shame on them.
I got probation. I got
shame on the justice system for you for allowing you to.
Well, thank you, King Solomon. Thank you, King Solomon. You're wise. Is that it? You know all about it, huh?
A lot wiser than you.
Well, I'll tell you right now, talking to you, I know how...
I'm walking in your shoes because I'm not that stupid to put, you know, this kind of burden on myself by being so dumb to get behind a steering wheel drunk.
You know what? I know how my nephew feels right now because I feel that way about you.
More power to him.
I feel that way about you.
More power to him. And they need to get that kid away from you, far away from you.
Oh, get him away from me. I need to get away from him.
Hey, this little kid, 5 years old. He don't have a choice. They need to get him away from you. You're an adult.
That kid's in a car seat sitting behind me. What defense do I have with him driving a pencil into the base of my skull?
What defense did his dad have when you got behind the wheel drunk?
His father willingly got in that car, didn't he? Ooh, gotcha.
Oh, and so
gotcha.
Did you.
Oh,
no,
gotcha.
You didn't get me.
I got you.
No, you didn't get me.
I got you.
You didn't get me.
Why should
I live in... You were the one responsible. If you had the keys, you're the designated driver, you were the one responsible.
Can I ask you a question?
And you know what?
You're asking me to live in fear.
The justice system failed this little boy.
You're asking me to live in fear.
To go to court, they're going to... Well, you know what?
You're asking me to live in fear.
Live without his dad for the rest of his life.
I can't take this boy to a duck pond for fear this child in some way might push me in.
Why should you have anything to do with this kid, or why should he want anything to do with you? You killed his dad. That makes me want to puke. Surrogate father, get out of here.
That's right. I'm better father to him than... Well, you'd probably be a better father to him than me, but other than that...
Well, what kind of a crack is that?
I'm a mother, you know, I wasn't the other father, but you know what? If I was the mother of that child, he wouldn't have nothing to do with you.
Okay, Cindy, when I turn up with a pencil sticking out of the back of my neck, leaned against the steering wheel with a horn going off, you go right ahead and laugh.
They're
going to find me leaning against the horn, the kid in the car seat, pencil out of the neck, classic textbook